Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
This has absolutely no rhyme or reason to why we're putting this song at the start of this episode, but I just wanted to hear it.
Keep playing for a little bit longer. I'm going to hear more.
Look like you have no clue of what comes next.
It's coming. I'm going to hear it. It's coming. I don't care how long this takes. Nah, your truth or dare's got nothing to do with this, but hello, everyone. It is a good song. Welcome to NFL Week 6. That's going to be my name at the end, just throwing that out there real quick. Go through NFL
Week.
Will
you be truth and I'll be dare?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I'm never going to remember that by the end of this. I'll
remember that. It's near, because that's all I'm thinking about is that song now. I don't know, and nothing else is in my head.
That's probably just because you're drinking water.
Well, good point. If I was drinking something else, the truth of dare would be gone in 10 minutes.
The truth shall set you free.
Go through week 6 scores, starting with the Friday game. Remember, they're pulling out these Friday games, like just exciting games on a Friday. Even though it was the Eagles, they still made it at least eventful, but just went down to the Bucks 28-22.
I mean, a little bit of garbage time sort of points towards the end of this game to make it interesting. The Bucks should have put this game away.
That's right. That's what I'm getting at. So next game was another Sunday game in London. The Jags getting their first win in, you could technically call it their home ground, technically, since they're a London team.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, the affiliate of Fulham. Soccer club or football club, depending on how you want to call it.
The funny thing is, it wasn't even played there.
No, it gets played at Tottenham. So, but the Jags won 23-20 over the Dolphins.
I don't think Mr. Khan would be very happy with that, would he? Like, surely he'd want to be generating revenue for his own team and in his stadium.
I would say it'd have to do with the amount of people in the stadium. That's the only thing that surely Fulham wouldn't have a bigger stadium than Tottenham.
Yeah, but there's bigger stadiums over there than Tottenham's new stadium. Well, than Tottenham's new stadium, no?
I'm surprised Wembley is just not the one. I mean,
they've had them at Wembley before.
That's what I can't work out. But anyway, they've decided to go Tottenham. Then the litany of Monday games. The Packers beat the Bears. Actually, I already know what I'm changing my last name to just from this game. But the Packers beat the Bears 24-14. No, it's got to do with Aaron Rodgers, but the Bengals.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, you remember now. Bengals beat the Lions 34-11. The Colts, I'm not sure what's going on with the Colts. They got a sneaky. Well, I mean, they did beat the Texans 31-3, but we just don't know what's going on with the Colts.
It's Houston, but look, we said in our preview that they've got their first five games were all playoff teams and all above 500 from last year. So they're going to have a real tough time of it. And now that they're past that and they're looking okay.
The Rams beat the Giants 38-11. The Kansas City Chiefs bounced back from week 5 and beat the Washington football team 31-13.
Classic bounce back.
Well, it's an easy bounce back team. The Vikings beat the Panthers in overtime 34-28. That was a fun game. I mean, any overtime game is fun, I suppose.
And there was OT games just littered everywhere this week.
This game just was a massive shutout, and that was the Ravens beating the Chargers 34-6, and I'm guaranteeing no one would have picked. Not the score,
Not too many people would have picked the result. Like, yeah, you might have been, say, 50-50. Nobody would have seen that.
No, not a shutout like that. No way.
That was just...
It wasn't shut out, but shut, but just basically shut down.
Basically, yeah. Pretty much call it a shutout.
The Cards kept their win streak alive, 6-0, and they beat the Browns 37-14.
It's kind of a disappointing game.
Yeah, towards the end there.
That was built up basically, that game and the Ravens and the Chargers were both built up to be sort of, games of the week. and they'll both very flat.
The Raiders beat the Broncos 34-24. This was an exciting game too, not because my team, the Cowboys, were in it, but because it went down to OT, and it was just a cool game to watch.
Insane. I think a lot of people
would have liked watching this game.
Final quarter. What is with the last few weeks? What is with these nuts final quarters?
Oh my god! Yeah, this was a cool game because Pats have a good day. So you know, Pats did go down 34-29 to the Cowboys, but the Pats have a good day, and that's why it was so back and forth. Steelers took them out on their overtime game, beat the Seahawks. Not sure what's going on with this. Well, I think I know what's going on with the Seahawks.
Yeah, we know what's going on there.
20-23.
I think it's pretty clear we know what's going on there.
And the Tuesday game was the Tennessee Titans just knocking off a big one in the Buffalo Bills, 34-31.
That was... there wouldn't have been too many people that would have seen that one coming either.
Well, there's only one person that would have seen that coming, and that's Derrick Henry. So... if we want to start at that game, I mean, they got to, you know, this is the Titans. They're coming up against these big teams. They got the Bills that they beat now, and then next week they've got the Chiefs. So, you know, if they pull this one out, they can somehow pull the Chiefs out. God damn, they're in good stead.
They're knocking. They're definitely knocking on the door. And you know, after I guess sort of a topsy turvy sort of start to the season too, like you know, the. Their two losses, they've been really, really poor. But in their wins, they're amazing. Like, and that's not so much even on the back of Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is extremely serviceable. It is riding on the back of Superman / Hulk, whatever sort of, you know, superhero analogy you want to give him. Like you just call him the Hulk. He's unbelievable, and they're hitching that wagon to him.
He's Thanos, but he doesn't die. That's him. He's Thanos with every power, but just doesn't die. That is Derrick Henry because
it's unreal what he's doing.
It's insane what he's doing and what he continues to do week in, week out. Look, the Titans still had pretty serviceable in wide receiving with AJ Brown. Sorry, I was going to sneeze then. He got seven targets, nine targets, sorry, seven receptions for 91 yards. So he's sort of climbing back.
Well, he's back. He's back. So
your boy. You
know, he's back from injury. So
what about your boy Julio? What do you reckon?
I'm nearly done with Julio. Like I get it. He's 32, but he's just the last couple of seasons now. On the teams that he's been on, he's a clear number two. Like probably the last two seasons that he was at Atlanta, he was behind Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
And now he's behind AJ Brown. Like, can he still be a serviceable player, not just talking about fantasy? Like, yeah, of course he is. But it's unreal how little they're using him.
Yeah.
Just purely based on the fact that you can get 20 carries, you know, and you're getting a bulk of your offense. Out of Derrick Henry.
The thing we probably haven't credited enough, especially in this game, was that the Tennessee defense shut out the Bills in that second quarter, and they got their end in 10 points, but they completely the Titans defense really shut out the Bills in that fourth quarter twice
in that second quarter. They got into the red zone and turned them away.
Yeah,
did not give up the six.
Yeah,
and that's been Buffalo's MO. Like they're getting into the red zone and they're scoring touchdowns at an extremely high clip. Like they couldn't stop them a third time, but you know, making those two big stops in the game as a whole are absolutely two critical plays. Tennessee were basically going score for score.
Yeah.
With Buffalo up until that last quarter.
Up until that last quarter, exactly. Yeah, and that last quarter was just great. Well, not great. It was just phenomenal by just the Tennessee defense.
Two massive plays. So you know, eight or so minutes to go. A fourth down stop.
Yeah.
8 minutes to go. Stops Buffalo with 22 seconds to go, the fourth and inches, basically on the goal line. It wasn't a fourth and goal, but it was as close as you can get to a fourth and goal. And they go for the quarterback sneak. Josh Allen slips, falls over, and they don't get it.
That's
probably a 50-50 each way. If Allen doesn't slip, does he still get there? But Tennessee's front four and their ability to be able to stop that, especially to make big plays. Like defensively, you look at numbers and you go, okay, they gave up 31 points. But this is one of the highest octane offenses that's getting around. But it's those big plays in big moments, especially in the red zone.
No, you're right. Yeah. And that's
the Bills to either 3 points or, on that final drive. And that's the thing is, too, as well, like, I get the aggressive play calling, but should they have not just taken the three? Let's send this game to overtime.
I mean, mate, look, I guess they were coming into this game 4-1, so maybe they just were honestly probably feeling themselves. I would have. I mean, but maybe they were just feeling themselves and then thought, yeah, no, we can do this. We'll get in there. I mean, obviously that's the smartest option.
I mean, that's what you would be, but you've had no momentum throughout that whole fourth quarter. You've got to try and wrestle some of that back. Plot the field goal over. It's 34 all, and let's take this game to overtime.
Yeah, which is what it should have been. But great work by Tennessee. Look, the next game, we're going sort of backwards here, but the Steelers beat the Seahawks. Geno, big up against the two. This was a primetime game too, by the way.
Correct.
So, primetime game for Sunday night over there is your primetime quarterbacks, Big Ben Roethlisberger and Geno Smith. That would have
been... Skyscraper with eyes and legs.
And Geno Smith.
Pummeled.
Five times he got sacked. My God. TJ Watt went just hunting for him and just murdered him. Well, all the big names in that team, Cameron Haywood, Alex Highsmith. Yeah, they murdered Geno Smith. Murdered him.
They're picking his bones out of their teeth.
Yeah. Like,
the scary part of this game though, like to start off. Took nearly 20 minutes, so the first quarter and 5 minutes into the second quarter, for any team to get into the red zone.
That's not scary, but that's honestly, unfortunately, it's kind of...
That's poo-poo.
What do you expect from these teams? Exactly what I expected from these teams. Well, look at 20
minutes.
To put it in perspective of how this game was, 20 minutes, you're right.
Seattle didn't even score in the first half.
But look at the receiving and rushing touchdowns for Pittsburgh, an example. So the rushing touchdown for Pittsburgh was Eric Ebron,
on a toss.
And the receiving touchdown for Pittsburgh is Najee Harris, who's a running back. So that's what I mean. It's all over the shop. And then
it's bizarro land.
Oh my God. And the other one was, second stringer Alex Collins getting a touchdown, and then Will Disley.
Will Disley.
Oh my God. It's
two receptions for 8 yards. One of them's a touchdown.
It was a tire fire game. It was Pittsburgh defense that won the game. And that was pretty much literally I had wrote down in here. Pittsburgh defense, and that's all I wanted to.
No, that's right. Well, look, Seattle looked a lot more competent in the third quarter. Getting those two touchdowns. Look, there was a clear either change of plan or a change in mindset. To be honest, Pittsburgh, like you said, they started off well, and then they just went limp in the second half. So that through their own fault, they allowed Seattle to get back into this game.
Yeah, no, they did for their own fault. I mean, at the end, I think it was just that. I mean, the big play obviously was the forced fumble from TJ Watt in overtime, for them to obviously nut out the win with those 3 points. That was the biggest move.
That's just an absolute coach killer, And
they're predicated on their defense. Maybe
no, that's right, and that's we said that last week. That's what's keeping them in games because offensively it's offensive. At certain points of the game,
And this is the problem. I mean, it's a little bit of their offensive line, but offensively they've
that's extremely offensive as well.
Offensively, they've got an up and coming and looks like maybe an elite running back who's on fire already, and they've got three borderline, one of them maybe, but three borderline elite wide receivers. So it's their offensive line, and unfortunately, it's just their quarterback. So
yeah, DK Metcalf too sort of got hammered a little bit, I think, on social media, and Shannon Sharp has sort of chimed in to sort of give his 2 cents worth as well. You know, it's sort of creating a little bit of Twitter beef. You know, with what he was sort of saying, I guess a selfish sort of play by DK and not running out basically on the last play of that fourth quarter, and yeah, it's sort of called him out a little bit, and then yeah, DK they go back and forth a little bit on Twitter, and DK's calling him boy, which it's just and yeah, and then one, Shannon Sharp flies back with his resume. And
that's the one good thing that, you know, he can say something because he played the game.
That's well, right.
So he's calling it
selfish. Now, I'm not.
It's not like so a Skip sure Bayless
it's selfish. It's
this,
just
so.
It's it wasn't silly.
Selfish. It was silly.
It wasn't selfish. It was silly.
It wasn't selfish because selfish means like what? Yeah, like trying to run
it's
for
game
the touchdown.
Awareness.
When, yeah, that's exactly right. It was game awareness. So. I don't know if they're going to bounce back Seattle, but we'll just have to wait and see with them. Next one, I would even put myself in this. Didn't think the Cowboys would be 5-1 after 6 weeks, but here we are. This is where they are.
They could have been there or thereabouts.
Honestly, probably 4-2, 3-3. I didn't expect 5-1, honestly. But
I mean, All they needed was a semi competent defense,
and that's exactly what they got. The two young guns ruled this game in a way, and also, you know, nearly lost the game for them too. But the two young guns in Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. That is the shrewdest pick that we've ever done. That just fell perfectly to us. I'm so glad we didn't do any reach or do anything silly, and I like what. Unfortunately, it looks like a bad move for Miami. Miami. Trading away their first and all that, you know, just to go and get Waddle. So that might be a bit of a bust, but no, we didn't do that. And
no,
yeah, we'll get to them later. But Dak decided to, you know, he was great. He didn't get sacked and only got one interception and got massive 445 yards.
Is that a career high for him?
I don't think so, but 51 times the concerning thing was me.
We said that this is what, the third time this year that he's thrown over 50 passes.
Yeah,
he's given that shoulder that was supposedly giving him trouble at the start of the year a real workout.
It was giving him. I mean, I watched all the Hard Knocks, and you can tell. Like, I mean, he wanted to play, but you can also tell he needed that rest as well. So
yeah, no, that's true. Look, and Dallas didn't exactly start this game terrific either. You know, they were turned away. Three times in the red zone inside that first half, two turnovers and a field goal. The way that the New England defensively were turning away, and then one of the turnovers was a Dak dive into the end zone. It was punched out. The ball was punched out before he got to the end zone.
Before he got to
break the plane. That was crazy.
So that was that play that I still can't work out that play. It wasn't so much the I thought it went over on the third, but then why try the same on the fourth?
No, exactly. They tried the same thing.
It didn't make sense. No, 20. Just looking at it, 2020. So just last year, not last year, probably the year before, October 2020. So the year before, 502 yards he threw, Dak Prescott. So in a loss, Jesus Christ. Anyway, four touchdowns, 500 yards in a loss.
Brutal.
This was for me the first time I really, really got to watch Mac Jones, and. Look, personally, I think he has the trade. I'm only comparing the quarter, but the rookie quarterbacks this year. But personally, I honestly think at the moment he's the best one.
He is the best one.
Unfortunately for him, is, you know, talking about offensive lines, is his offensive line isn't helping him. And he got absolutely smashed by Randy Gregory in this game. And when he went to the sideline, he didn't look good at all. Randy Gregory literally tried to murder him. And Randy Gregory was awesome in this game, but he just
lit him up.
But that's the thing with Mac. See, and this is why it's probably, I guess, depending on what you want in your team, but Mac can take a hit like a Justin Fields and that. But the difference between Justin Fields and Mac Jones is Mac Jones is extremely accurate.
Right. And he's proving that in this. Like
Beautiful.
That's right. And yeah, it didn't sort of really help either. The Patriots' time of possession was like nearly 13 minutes less than what the Cowboys were. So the Cowboys controlled the clock extremely well. But yeah, once again, like we knew Mac Jones, well, not that we knew, but we'd all seen what he'd done in college at Alabama. One of the most efficient, high percentage quarterbacks that was in college football. And he's proving that this year that he can have that high efficiency in the NFL.
What's interesting to me is he was, and they did say it would end up being a smoke screen, but he was the, you know, the quintessential number three pick, and then he was going to San Francisco because that's what everyone kept hearing.
That's right.
And it's possibly where you kind of would put him at. I'm surprised, again, the whole Trey Lance thing threw me as well, but it's hard to say if he'll still be good. You know, it could be, you know, having Bill Belichick there probably helps him as well. But
look, I think it's probably more of a Josh McDaniels product than Belichick. Like Belichick is more of the defensive mastermind behind what goes on there, and he's supposedly a genius on special teams as well. But I think a lot of these play calls and everything all comes from the mind of Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, that's a fair thing to say. Next game was a game that they really probably shouldn't have won with all the John Gruden controversy and everything that was going on, but the Raiders did beat the Broncos 34-24.
Another quintessential bounce back game because the Las Vegas Raiders were total and utter doo doo the week before, and they've come out and look, I think they did a real number on Denver.
Oh, they certainly did, and again the same sort of thing. Like offensively, they were good, but again their defense was awesome. You know, not so much the five sacks, but even the 85 tackles. That's a, you know, for a winning team, that's a lot of tackles.
That's right.
That's a huge amount of tackles, 85 tackles.
They were just an absolute menace. Like, yeah, okay, the five sacks is a pretty decent number.
Sure.
Teddy Bridgewater was hit 17 times.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, he was just getting pummeled left, right, and center by, I guess, a Vegas defense that is not really renowned for that, but I guess just had one of those games. Like they're good all round.
They're also a defense that
Max Crosby is. Yeah. Max Crosby has been awesome the last couple of weeks.
Max Crosby was awesome in week one too. Max Crosby's been, well, he's the one that's, you know, his quarterback hits were five of them. Five out of those 17, five quarterback, and plus he obviously got three sacks himself. That guy's a massive dude and can move too. But they're probably a little bit underrated, that defense, because they've got you know, a couple other stuff. Like Denzel Perryman's been on fire in their corner. I think he was at Tennessee Titans before.
And look, have we even mentioned Yannick Ngakoue as well?
Exactly right. No, we haven't.
Like he's done nothing this year for Vegas.
Oh no, he was okay last week. He was pretty good last week, but generally, right.
He's a very high-profile defender.
He is a very high-profile defender. Yeah, he did a little bit last week, but other than that, his stats are pretty poor, to be honest. But
no, that's right. He's had a very lackluster season.
But we can't discount, I guess, the Raiders' win. Like they did what they had to do. The still, I mean, he got a touchdown, but still their rushing game still a little bit, I get less to be desired kind of thing. Depend, you know, it's getting there, but it's still a little bit like that. Less
I mean,
to be
Josh
desired.
Jacobs has been dealing with injuries pretty much all year, so I don't think he's going to get any healthier. Mm. I guess we'd have to find out when the Raiders have the bye, but that's going to be the only way for him to sort of get a little bit healthier. But yeah, they're just sort of scraping past, you know, by the skin of their teeth with their run game. And look, we all know what Josh Jacobs can do. Like he's been sensational since he's come into the league, but they've got really good deep threats as well, and they've got the extraterrestrial in Darren Waller there as well, who's always, you know, is always a really good sort of, you know, safety valve for Derek Carr, you know, and a go-to man for him when they want to get some cheap yards.
They're week 8 there, boy, so a couple more.
Jacob's just got to hang on for a little bit there, and he'll have himself some rest sooner or later, and then hopefully he can sort of get those. I think it's been foot and ankle problems.
Yeah. Cards keeping their undefeated streak alive, 37-14. What'd you think?
Yeah, look, like we said, I was kind of really excited for the two games that were basically going on, I guess, side by side with each other on TV / Red Zone.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll talk about the Chargers laying an egg. I think pretty much the Browns laid an egg.
I think so. I think they were short of offensive troops. There was no Nick Chubb in this game. There was
Kareem Hunt went down in the fourth quarter, so
there was a broken Odell Beckham too. So
that's right. But they're nicked up everywhere. They're nicked up defensively. That they've got like two starting offensive linemen out as well. So they're nicked up all over the place.
And Baker was injured towards the end there because Case Keenum
threw his shoe on. He's in a little bit of strife. Injury wise, he's got a torn labrum and a fracture in his non throwing shoulder, and he landed on that fumble
pretty hard.
Towards the end of the game, he landed really hard on that. He got smashed.
You're right. He did. On the other side, the Cards.
Look, he had a really ordinary game too. He had an interception and a fumble in the first half as well.
That's kind of he also got sacked 5 times, but that's kind of his game. It's the thing with Baker is he's a weird quarterback, and this is why I don't know that's why I think they're hiding on extending him, because he can get you games and win you games, but it's not like he does like what Kyler Murray does or certain other quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have that.
But he doesn't have to. Edge. I don't think he has to be totally amazing every week for this Browns team to get wins.
No, well, you, when you've got that two-headed monster in Hunt and Chubb, you don't have to. He just has to pass the ball. I literally just hand the ball off, literally.
Look at what the Saints did 2017, 2018, 2019. Yeah. Two-headed monster, you know, an aging Drew Brees with a noodle arm, and that they were one of the best teams in the NFC. And there's no real reason why this Browns team can't replicate that with the likes of the guy like Jarvis Landry is still hurt, but they've got two extremely good tight ends in David Njoku and Mr. Irrelevant in Austin Hooper, like one of the best tight ends that was going around a couple of years ago, and he's not existent.
Signed the contract that, you know, I guess deserved it, going off technically the way he was playing in that game, in that team for, well, I think he was in the, Atlanta Falcons. He was.
Yeah, the Falcons.
So, it's.
And a big part of their offense too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Well, he was, you know.
He was a go-to guy. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Austin Hooper. If you had him as a starting tight end in fantasy, you were cheering.
Oh, 100%.
And he has just been totally non-existent in 2 years at the Browns.
The other, you know, again, the other side, their defense is the Arizona's defense, you know, kept them in the game, and they've got offensive weapons, but their defense, you know, JJ Watt just was smartly picked them, I think, you know, because he just complimented their team. Could that have Jordan Hicks and Isaiah Simmons, you know, and Budda Baker? So, yeah, that was a shrewd pick by JJ Watt. That's actually a really good pick.
I like the way that he's just fit in seamlessly, really.
Well, he doesn't have to, and this is the difference with Houston. So he doesn't have to do JJ Watt things that JJ Watt was doing in Houston. So, which is good.
Where it was him, and if he's not making the defensive play, then nobody is.
Correct. So you know, yeah, we've got all these other ones. You know, like again, like. Their defense is unbelievable. Defense is unbelievable.
I don't know how much of the Jordan game Hicks you actually huge. Watched. Did you see one of the fumble recoveries by Kyler Murray? Had four fumbles, recovered them all. But did you see the one that where they're inside the 10-yard and he's trying to relay a message out to the left, out to one of his receivers, and the center just snaps the ball and it bounces off his head. And he's had to scramble 10 yards back, and it's just like, what the hell was the center thinking? Yeah. Like there's no sound, like there's no, you know, there's no quarterback sound for them to snap the ball. Nothing. He just snaps it. I don't know what the hell he was doing.
He's a bit dicey sometimes, Mr. Murray, isn't he? That was that wasn't his fault, but it's still not the point.
Absolutely, wasn't. That's what I mean. It's doinked off his head, and he wasn't even looking.
No,
like bounces off the side of his helmet, and then all of a sudden he's had to go, uh oh, where's the ball gone?
Yeah,
it was funny. It was funny as hell. That kind of stuff gets a man hurt.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah,
that 100%. Kind of stuff gets your quarterback hurt.
The Chargers were just, you know, honestly, their loss was just flat out awful. They were awful in this game, and there's really no other word to put it.
Egg.
The Ravens were good, but they just beat an awful team. That
Justin
was the difference.
Herbert has just proven now that he is immortal.
Yeah, no, that's fair. They've got the weapons. I mean, there's no, but even when the weapons, even like that rushing game was you know, Austin Ekeler.
Oh, it was nothing. What the hell was that?
He's going into this and still will be after this RB2 in the entire league. 7 yards for an RB2 is just that's what I mean. They just
six carries. Like that just can't happen. How many times did the Chargers, you know, in advantageous situations go for fourth down? They were like 12 of 12 going into this game. 12 of 13 going into this game on fourth down conversions. Couldn't convert any of them, and they were all horrible.
That's the nature
of the beast, though. Like, you're not always going to complete those fourth downs.
That's also the nature of a rookie head coach as well. You know, feeling it a little bit and then probably doing one too many. So
that's true. Biting a little bit more off of the apple than probably what he should. But this game, yeah, to me, they just. Offensively, just absolutely nothing. You know, even Herbert under 200 yards, and just that rush game that was just. I've never seen anything like it.
The thing with Herbert's game as well is they got to him twice, but they weren't really really disturbing.
I didn't think there was a whole lot of pressure put on.
No, four hits, four quarterback hits. I know there wasn't much pressure, and that's what I'm perplexed. They really just. You know, I get maybe the coverage was just that good, really.
No, I think a lot of it really has to do with how well that they'd sort of covered Keenan Allen, you know, and you know, Mr. Deep Threat Mike Williams, like, you know, the two of their longest plays, they're only just a bit over 20 plus yards, and that's just unheard of. Like they weren't getting those big plays, you know, guys on the defense like Patrick Queen. Who was a rookie, or you know, who was one of their first round picks from last year for Baltimore? He's starting to be really good. Marlon Humphrey, the safety, he's awesome.
Yeah,
you've got Calais Campbell, who was just an absolute gigantic
human being.
Like you've seen what he done last week with the block field goal. he's just and Flexen, and he would be rivaling Dave Bautista with those nice biceps.
How about the geriatric running backs getting a touchdown? And they're not old, but they're close to 30. Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell. Wow.
If this was 2018, that would be the most feared run game that's out there with Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman. And that would be the most feared run game that's happening at the moment.
And Lamar Jackson. That would be insane.
You don't even need to throw the ball.
That was Lamar's MVP year, so you just imagine that three-headed monster. Jesus Christ. Look, Ravens I guess for a little bit, again, I said this and I probably keep saying it, if they keep doing well, this is all well and good until they get to that playoffs, and then probably
the Ravens offensively really weren't that terrific either. Lamar Jackson threw for less yards than what Justin Herbert did. They made defensive plays, and their rush game
was the rushing geriatrics that won it. That's what I'm finishing on. No, the rushing geriatrics won it for them. So, the team that I just, they're 3-3, or both of these teams I can't work out, but the Minnesota beating Panthers 34-28, I can't work out both these teams.
I think we can sort of work out what Carolina is. Like, I think they're a bit of a bogus 3-0 side to sort of start the season, and now they've lost three on the trot. Whether or not this was always going to be their destiny, but look, Sam Darnold for, let's say, 55 minutes of this game was a disaster.
Yeah.
An absolute disaster until that final drive. And once again, this is on Minnesota for not putting away Carolina, because Carolina, they were disgraceful offensively. Yeah,
they shouldn't have. This game, there's no way this game shouldn't have went to OT. Not a chance in hell this game should have went to OT.
But Darnold in the first half, 60 yards, 5-18.
Darnold has, because it's slowly deteriorating. Darnold has a very sneaky chance of an XFL player probably starting before him.
PJ Walker.
That's what I'm getting at. It's slowly getting that way.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
But, I don't know. We'll see what happens next week. I don't know.
As a starter, absolutely not.
Well, maybe not a starter. Yeah, good point. My boy Robbie Anderson did absolutely nothing in this game except for getting a touchdown. So that's on me. That's unfortunate on me for not putting him in yourself.
You were totally. And that was the thing, that he was the guy that caught the touchdown in that final couple of minutes on that final drive. Unbelievable.
I just can't trust him in my fantasy squad. It's just he's and no one wants him, which is the worst thing. So
that's true as well. Dalvin Cook.
Just being
Dalvin Cook, maybe Dalvin Cook
needs to be load managed, because maybe this works for him. You've got Madison there, who's a very good compliment. Maybe Dalvin needs a.
How about just sharing the load while they're both in the game, and not just giving Dalvin Cook 29 carries? How about you split everything up?
It's true, but look, I mean, he's not as good, but he's just like Derrick Henry. You give him all these carries because you know he can get over 100 yards.
No, that's right.
Quite easily. So.
Yeah, and Adam Thielen was massive in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Tips
that
over
touchdown, 30, that touchdown that he year. Caught, how the hell did he keep his feet in bounds?
He's basically six.
His whole body was out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And the defender was right on top of him, and he still catches it and has both feet in bounds. It was such a perfectly threaded pass by Kirk Cousins. But how the hell did he catch that?
6'2". That's what it is. He's 6'2". Oh, that helps.
Man, that was probably one of the best touchdown passes caught this week.
I love that they've got that mix of, and I think more teams need this. So they've got obviously two great wide receivers, but you've got that big unit like Thielen, and then you've got this small like a Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chases, Tariq Hills of the world that are all snippy ones. But they don't. Some of these teams don't have that tall 6 foot ones like Adam Thielen. So I love that. I love having that at second option personally because of that reason alone. They're like sort of Mike Evans, tall wide receiver. Chris Godwin, small but fast, so thick. Yeah.
That's right. Thick. And yeah, Minnesota wins this game, I guess, sort of in walk off fashion, like in overtime.
Do you?
It shouldn't have even. Shouldn't
do you
have
like
even
the walk off? Honestly,
I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people, I mean, it doesn't matter. A win's a win. Some people just like detest a walk off win.
So, oh, boo hoo! Stop the team. Don't let them march down the field and score a touchdown.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Make a stop.
I think there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, because if you make a stop, they kick a field goal. The game keeps going.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I don't mind it at all. I don't see a whole lot wrong with it.
At least it puts
a little bit of, not so much emphasis, but the element of luck in the coin toss at the start of overtime has real consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Because nine times out of 10, the team who wins the toss is receiving that ball because they will absolutely believe in themselves that we can go down the field. And if not score a touchdown, we'll at least get the three on the board. And now the pressure is on you.
Yeah. 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 Just ask Jabril Peppers.
Yeah. No, we won't ask Jabril Peppers at all.
That was awesome. Come on. That's hilarious. We want that mother effer. Because
Did he realize what jersey he's playing for?
Well, but he knows. But that's the thing, you know. You're right. 9 times out of 10, if you're receiving, you're getting the toss and you're the receiving team, 9 times out of 10, you have a huge advantage. Bounce back week for the Chiefs beating the Washington. Look, this was honestly a pretty straightforward game. And there wasn't sort of too much out of the way in this that it really didn't focus on, except for Patrick Mahomes' sneaky interceptions sort of climbing up. He threw two again in this game. So
they're gradually mounting. Their turnovers in general are gradually mounting, which is a little concerning. When it comes to regards of the Kansas City. Look, back to 500 and 3-3. So, look.
We shouldn't be saying that, but it's true. But it's
anyway. No, that's right. In a game like this, where they probably didn't really have to chase this game as much as what they have in previous games. Look, they weren't. Aside from an early first quarter touchdown, I don't think they were very good in the first half.
Yeah.
A couple of times Tyreek Hill has dropped the ball, and look, the first interception that Mahomes threw, it just burst straight through Tyreek Hill's hands and straight into the defender. So that's not really on Mahomes, but it's Tyreek Hill. Look, and I remember hearing throughout the coverage of this game that was a real concern when they actually drafted Tyreek Hill. That in college he has the drops.
Yeah, I mean it looked more like of a team when this is Tyreek Hill, and it's possible because they haven't had this for so many years, a lack of confidence team when that happened.
If you don't
have that confidence sometimes, as great as you are, as Tyreek Hill or Patrick Mahomes, you tend to have these mistakes. That happens.
Mistakes happen, but it's also not so much it's the confidence. It's like, Mahomes has been accused of being reckless at points, but
it just doesn't
seem to A, phase him, and B, just not affect his play at all. Like the second interception that he threw, he dropped the snap and then scrambled out of the pocket. And rather than just trying to throw it away, He tries to make the big play, and he throws a pick in the end zone.
Nothing
seems to dump the ball. If there's nobody there, dump the ball.
nothing seems to faze Patrick Mahomes, because a video came out straight after this where he went to a Post Malone concert, and he literally got, when he walked into that Kansas City stadium, he got more of a cheer than anybody else, and I'm talking including the artist. It's just
and he's well within his rights to.
Everybody, he just walked in and the whole crowd just went ridiculous for him walking in. That no one, it's one person seen it, and then obviously the camera swung around. So anyway, look, bounce back win. We'll move on. The Rams.
Bit of an injury concern too with Antonio Gibson with Washington as well. He's got that shin injury that he's been dealing with for the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure that's not going to get any better anytime soon either.
That'd be
one of those tough injuries that in an impact sport like this would be real hard to overcome.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. You could technically have as much protection there as possible, but it's very easy to get hit the shins area. Very easy.
Well, that's what I mean. He's a running back, so he's just getting mobbed from every direction possible.
And just boots. Not so much someone tackling his shins, but just the
boots. That's right. It's just kicking, from everything. Yeah, straight legs hitting him. Like it's just multiple body parts being hit.
Rams beating the Giants. This was, I guess for me at least, it was predicated on that Stafford being okay and doing. He was very accurate in this game, and that was what it was predicated on for me.
Just very accurate. Did what he had to do.
Got enough
production out of Daryl Henderson in the run game to be able to control the ball. He's developing a really deadly combination with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, he is.
Really deadly combination.
Yeah, he's finding him perfectly. You're right on Daryl Henderson. I think that's a Venus Freud. Like, he was always there, and he was a little bit injury prone, but the dude's,
he's holding up.
For fortune of what happened, why he's the RB1 now, he's holding up well, really well. And he's one of the five best running backs this year at the moment. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it'll be very interesting next year when Cam Akers comes back. Like, do they try and find value on the trade market for him? Or I don't know.
Personally, I didn't buy into the hype of Cam Akers like everybody did. That one year that got him to the Super Bowl, that wasn't the Super Bowl, that was someone else. But that one year that he, one good year he had, and that was it.
Rookie campaign last year.
Much do you buy into that hype of a rookie campaign?
Well, that's right. Be consistent, and he's gone for the season, so he's got a long year to wait before he can come back for next year.
Always love talking about the Texans and the Colts, but the Colts beat the Texans 31-3. Jonathan
game.
Taylor was amazing in this game. Is showing exactly why, well, for me at least, exactly why I drafted him high and alone on a lot of fantasy squads.
That 83 yard TD on such a simple, just sort of. I love how they call it cutback. It's not a cutback. It's a step. Give it the program. It's a step.
I know, but yeah, have you?
They love that. Oh, what a great cutback. It's like, no, it's a step.
They love it. I watched because it popped up all of a sudden. Old Jarryd Hayne preseason, and you know when those couple of games where he ran the ball back, punt returns, and that's all they said. Cutback.
Oh,
and
cutbacks.
I said
Drew Aikman. He loved that. That's like his favorite thing. He loves saying cutback.
But that 83-yard long bomb. But he was, he was still effective in the game. Taking off that, he was still over 60 yards and another touchdown. So,
no, exactly. Look, T.Y. Hilton returned in this game.
Little boom back.
Yeah, looked like the T.Y. Hilton, I guess, sort of old until halfway through that fourth quarter. And He's grounded again by a quad injury that looks like it could sort of derail him again. So I think he's very doubtful for next week. So they tried to feed him, I guess, a little bit as well. Pittman probably had one of his poorer games this year.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz was just 11 for 20, but 200 plus yards on 11 completions is not 220. At 11 yards per completion, what did one of those games where he did what he needed to do.
Exactly.
And I thought
to
Houston.
Just to get his kicker in place. And that's what.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
But how much have we said this year that Houston needs to try and utilize that running game? And they kind of did in this.
Well, they've got two great running backs. They've got three, technically, if you want to throw Marlon Mack in there as well. But they've got great running backs, so use it. Jonathan Taylor, you drafted him in the second round for that reason. You know, second round last year. Use him. And that's what they have been doing. He is.
Well, they're trying to find a trade partner as well now, so.
For Marlon Mack, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of get it because you've got – you've got Jonathan Taylor and you've got Nyheim Himes. Why do you need him, really?
Exactly. So you may as well try and get some draft capital back or something, maybe a borderline, decent third or fourth receiver that can sort of come back in, because I think Paris Campbell went down in this game as well. So, their receiving core is getting a little thin. I was mainly talking about Houston and Phillip Lindsay and Mark Ingram. Like, I just thought – There's got to be some reason why they're just not getting those guys, into the game more. Like, this was a classic Mark Ingram type game in 73 yards off 18 carries. That's what he's built for.
I don't get it.
Take the ball out of Davis Mills' hands. You need to help this young guy out.
They're the ones that I'll be honest, I didn't like, obviously, them getting free agents and signing. And, well, Mark Ingram was sort of there, but Phillip Lindsay as well, because you've also already got David Johnson. But if you're going to get them, then use them, like you just said. Because Phillip Lindsay is could be pretty serviceable. He was last year for the Broncos.
He has been his first few years in Denver. He was a good running back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. They'll have a high draft pick this year. There's no point beating around the bush with that. And same as this next team, the Detroit Lions going down the Bengals 34-11. This wasn't now finally a game where the Detroit Lions weren't that good, because they only scored all their points in the fourth quarter. The rest of them, first five games have been fine. Not this one.
The effort has been up there. DeAndre Swift was a non-factor. Not even any rush attempt getting over 10 yards, which is rather concerning. Dan Campbell sort of come out in the press conference after this game, and when he was asked about Jared Goff, basically not so much threw him under the bus, but said he needs to step up. And this was one of those, I guess, one of those poor games where they had no choice but to sort of force the pass towards the end to try and somewhat get back into this game. But, Joe Mixon on the other side, is looking every bit the running back that we all know he is when he's on the field.
Yeah. And then obviously the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase combination is working wonders.
It's bearing unbelievable fruit,
They really have, as long as he's protected, he's still got sacked twice in this, Joe Burrow. But they've got offensive weapons. I wouldn't say as good as Cowboys, but they're up there. They're young. They're ready to go. Mixon, I wouldn't say a poor man's Zeke, but he's close to Zeke. He's not the worst running back. And then you've got Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, and T.
Higgins. Zeke Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, all good pass catchers.
Well, Mixon got a receiving touchdown in this.
That's right.
So, yeah, they're a bit scary. Like, scarily good is what I'm getting at. A bit scary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is it going to be one of those situations where when is the cliff coming?
Possibly. It's possible.
I mean, I hope not, because you want to see.
No, I want
to sort of be relevant, and this division is quickly turning into one of the best divisions in the AFC, at least.
Yeah.
It's extremely competitive in the AFC North.
Their next five games, they've got a good chance of coming, I wouldn't say 5-0, but maybe 4-1. So the next
Baltimore in Baltimore next week is a huge test. Test for then Cincinnati.
After that, they got the Jets, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Steelers. So
they can division games sort of sprinkled in there too. So, you know, they can put some distance between some of those teams that are below them.
All right, if they beat Ravens, they'll be in very, very good stead. Very good stead. And it'll probably set them up this year if they can beat the Ravens.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And talking about divisional games, the Packers beat the Bears 24-14.
This game was won with words.
Yes, with three words. Saying I still
four words.
I still own you.
Aaron Rodgers. The hilarious part about it is it's totally off the cuff by Aaron Rodgers. He's got some swagger this year. It's unreasonable confidence, but because he's Aaron Rodgers. But you haven't, you haven't seen this type of swagger from him. I've never seen it before. He's always been as confident as hell, and he's Aaron freaking Rodgers, but he's letting everybody know about it this year.
When you have a young wife and nothing sort of to lose, because if they don't win, you know, he's basically saying, I don't care. I'll go next year kind of thing if I have to.
He didn't even have to do much in this game.
They're obviously a Super Bowl contender. They're obviously a Super Bowl contender this year. But if for some reason they don't win, I really, really honestly think that he could stay there. I really do. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but they
he's got to go to the organization and say, look, you better bleep and help me out. Whether it's protection, give me some more help.
Give him a wide receiver that goes well with Devonta Adams.
Give me what I need.
That's a good start. You know, you've got your running back.
It's not even that. Huge drop. He needs a serviceable number two, because between the receivers, when it comes to Devonta Adams and the rest of their receiving core, it's not even close.
It's massive. Well, they've got Devonta Adams, and then technically their wide receiver two technically is Alan Lazard. That's not even close.
It's not even a contest.
It's huge daylight.
It is a huge drop off.
The other side, this was a young team, I guess. You know, Justin Fields is unfortunately still finding his feet. You know, got sacked four times.
Or being knocked off it.
Khalil Herbert, their running back rookie, was good in this game. 97 yards for a TD. And then another run, you know, they've got a young, you know, Darryl Mooney, who's, you know, a lot of people had hype on, and he's still pretty good. Got a touchdown and 45 yards. He's only 22, so, you know, they've youngest team. And I don't know what's happening with Allen Robinson. I mean, he got decent yards for 53 for four, but he's something.
When your quarterback's only completing 16 passes,
well, it's possibly
it's hard for, you know, multiple people to eat, so to speak, in that receiving core.
I just think he needs to go what brought him to the dance kind of thing, and probably just say, hey.
Well, he does scramble a lot.
But does he that much? I don't know if he does.
He is horribly inaccurate.
He is horribly inaccurate.
Is he shooting under 50?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I believe he is shooting under 50. That's
disgusting.
I think his quarterback rating is like 45 or something like that, if I remember correctly. Have to be close. But
all right. Look at 57%.
Okay.
I'm honestly surprised that it's that high.
I'm surprised that it's that high, because they had that when we had that one game where he only threw the full game. I think he only threw two passes the entire game. I think it was last week or the week before. Yeah, he's tire fiery. Just scary, I guess.
Look, it's a total. total and utter project. Like they know what they've got there in him. We, you know, what would sort of come out saying at the start of the year that he, for me, still I still thought he was absolutely the second best quarterback in this class. But he's playing for the Bears. Like that they've got to pick and stick. They did it with Trubisky, and this guy's got a hell of a lot more talent than that.
Yeah, that's right. They have to stick. They have no choice. And for the reason of you just said then, they have to stick for the pure reason of you did it with Trubisky, but this guy has more talent, so you'll just have to play it out.
You
got
to wear it.
And then get to the
point. You got
to
help him out.
He's going to have that 3 or 4 years, and then you see if you're going to pick up his fifth-year option. You're going to have to. You have no choice. The London game, the Jacksonville Jaguars, beating the Dolphins.
The streak's over. The streak ends at 20. How disgusting is that to say? Good grief.
Well, this whole game.
It must just be torture supporting Jacksonville Jaguars.
This whole game was just ugly. It wasn't ugly. It was okay to watch, but it wasn't, you know. Tua was pretty good in this game.
It's one of those games, too, where it's sort of a showcase event because it kicked off early before all the Sunday / Monday games. So it was sort of a standalone sort of event in itself. And look at how Josh Lambeau has been dumped now by Jacksonville, their former kicker who, you know, has been there for a while now, and now they've got I can't remember if he's a rookie or not, but Matthew Wright now is the kicker or the place kicker. Mm-hmm. The two field goals that he kicked, the one to tie it, how the hell did it bend like that so late? Like that was missing by, I don't know, 5 feet. And then all of a sudden it bends into the right hand upright. Kevin Harlan. God, I want to be that man so much. He commentates on the NBA. He commentates on football. He's all over the. I want to be that man so much.
It is his first season, his rookie season. But the rookie season, he's 25 years old. You've got to love. Kickers. They're
mature age rookie. Nothing wrong with
but
that.
But you're right. Maybe just had that little bit of swing in it. You can kick a ball like that.
But it bent so late.
I know. But a bit of wind, I don't know.
Well, a gust of wind must have come through or something.
He was good. Like you said, he was accurate. 3 of 3 field goals and two extra points. So
that's what we said about last week, you know, unnecessary and unwarranted pressure put on kickers. And, you know, he stared it down in the face. Yeah. And he kicked Jacksonville to a win. Inside that fourth quarter. And look, Tua, his return from injury, still don't know why they're so reluctant to air the ball out.
He did air it out a lot more than he has that I've seen him before in this game especially. He aired the ball out a lot in this game.
But you tell me the last time you've seen him throw 300 meters. His boy, Jalen Waddle, and he's Waddle's longest completion is 14 yards.
Well, your boy, Mike Gesicki, was great.
Oh, Gesicki's the man. Gesicki's the man.
You love him. He's your tight end boy. There's nothing wrong with that. He's good. Yeah, he's clearly there.
He's the man.
He's their WR1 in that team, even though he's tight end. So, hey, you're right.
And once again, for Miami, it is a huge drop-off. When it comes to like their top receiver to their next guys, look, Devontae Parker's gone. He's been out for a little while now. Is it Preston Williams?
Yeah.
Like he's done. So you've got the only two guys you can trust is Gesicki and Waddle, and then a bunch of no ones.
And they who was the Houston one that they were suspended, but then now is gone is away.
Oh, Will Fuller.
Yeah.
So he's not even there.
No, well, that's exactly right. That's what I mean. So it's you're right. It's
and, just and very they're in trouble for Tua to be able to succeed.
They're in trouble because they're 1-5 and they traded up, so they will not have their first round pick next year. So
that's right. They're in a world of hurt.
Yeah, the good thing, I guess, and it came out after this game when the ESPN interviewed Mike Gesicki and said he loves playing with Tua. So that's kind of good, because then you've got that combination. There's nothing wrong with, you know, that's a good thing to say. Well, you throw confidence into your quarterback, and then obviously you'll get 1,000 touches. So
That's right. The offensive, their dual offensive coordinators there at the moment. They'll be definitely duly noting that in their notes for the week and go, right, need more plays drawn up for Mike Gesicki. Right, got it.
Now the final game was the Friday game, 28-22, with the Bucks winning. Jalen Hurts was poor in this game. He didn't, you know.
He's the garbage time king.
He is the garbage time king, because that's all this was. Was just Tampa, garbage time.
I get it. If this had maybe been a Sunday game, might have been a little bit different. But alas, it's not. It's, you know, it's a Thursday night game. It's a standalone event. Everybody's got to go through them, but yeah, it's on a short week now that, yeah, now both teams have got that longer rest now after the Thursday game. They should have put this game away long before Philadelphia could ever work their way back into this.
No, you're right. Yeah, they definitely had the opportunity to, like, I swear, every time I look down the field of what I could sort of see, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they got no touchdowns, but they were open.
Antonio Brown.
He got a touchdown. He was, again, great. And he loves throwing the ball around to different people. OJ Howard was good in this game too. He loves using everybody.
He spreads the wealth.
Especially Big Lenny Fournette, 81 yards and 2 TDs. He's got it in him. Everyone forgets that he's only 26 years old. Or, well, I don't know if anyone forgets, but I know he's 26 years old. And a fourth pick as a running back of a draft, which is, you know, just doesn't happen anymore. You don't pick that high for a running back anymore. So
the thing I guess took out of the first half, like a nice shootout in the first quarter, but there was a review on an interception. So it was like 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. Felt like it took 6 minutes.
Yeah.
For them to review it and get the call right. The call was reversed. Tiniest little bit of BS. They're just in such a pursuit of perfection when it comes to either a clean catch or a clean interception like that. It's maddening. Maddening the way that the NFL does these rules. But the other thing was how he doesn't get reprimanded or anything of that. Bruce Arians was Mr. Complainy Pants on the sideline. He was lighting up multiple officials. And whether or not it was about how long this was taking, whether he's questioning, his team has made the interception or not, he was going off his rocker. How does he not get reprimanded for that? There was F-bombs being laid everywhere.
Well, what perplexes me that for that reason alone is the head coaches that can do that right and pretty much not be reprimanded or anything during the game. But you have this new, the way they're doing the NFL taunting at the moment.
Oh, the taunting rules. Give me a break.
And they do the littlest thing and then it's a 15-yard penalty. To me, look at basketball. A coach does that. He's one tech, and it doesn't take long. One tech.
Doesn't take much now for the coach on the sideline to get a tech. Even on the court.
So yeah, exactly right.
All you've got to do in the NBA now to get a tech is slam the ball in the ground and catch it.
100%. You can't.
That's a tech. That is ludicrous.
You can't even speak to the referee anymore either. You can't. You can't speak to the referee.
Yeah, but Bruce Arians. Holy moly. Like, there wasn't small children around.
You're right. I mean, you're right.
He
probably would have been calmer. You're right. There was nothing. You know, it probably would have been calmer if they put this game to bed, which they should have. And that's pretty much how I thought of this game. Like you just said then, it was a exciting game because it came back, but that shouldn't have been like that. It should have been
been exciting. Philadelphia
exactly
didn't get to 100 meters passing Well, Jalen Hurts didn't get to 100 meters passing until the fourth quarter. Brutal.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I believe in him so much because of the dual threat way that he plays the game, but at the moment it's oh my god, it's tough. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, it is. You're right. I don't know.
Not getting Devontae. Yeah, once again, this is one of those. I guess we look at what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are doing. We look at what Jalen Waddle and Tua aren't doing. Looking at Jalen Hurts and what Devontae Smith aren't doing.
Yeah. It's
the whole point of those
completely completely non-existent, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's completely non-existent. And
Jalen Hurts isn't the most accurate of quarterbacks either.
Well, see, that's what I don't. Honestly, I think Devontae's fine. And I know you like Devontae. I just think it's Jalen Hurts. I would be shocked.
He's got a worse completion rate than Justin Fields. How?
Because he's not accurate.
Clearly.
I'd be very surprised if he'll see the season out, but I reckon Mr. Minshew Mania will probably play a couple of games.
Oh, your boy.
Well, why not? You might as well. Minshew Mania.
He's coming for all of that smoke.
And, you better not, because he's in the NFC East. I don't want him to come for all that. I want him to do well, but I don't want him to do well to win. Not at my NFC East, so.
I don't think you got a whole lot to worry about.
No. That was a game to week six. Have you got your stud there? Finishing our studs and duds.
I still own you.
Yeah, it had to be, didn't it? That it's just it's
and
like
you said, see pictures that were taken in the crowd of just double birds, single birds just being laid at Aaron Rodgers even before he said, "I still own you." So he was just getting a flutter of birds pointed in his direction, and he just laid the Bears to waste with that comment.
He didn't care. This is the other thing I liked about it. He did not care. And
didn't
he go
in the press conference at the start of the week too? And as they said he's faced like 14 or 15 Chicago Bears quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and then he tried to name some.
Yeah, that's right. What's funny to me is weren't they a sneaky Aaron Rodgers destination? I thought they were a sneaky Aaron Rodgers.
Oh wow, I don't remember Chicago being a part of that.
I'll be surprised if he would go there, and the fans wouldn't accept him, so he probably never go there anyway. So,
well, he wouldn't now.
No, of course not. Nobody says I own you.
Surely somebody changed the Chicago Bears Wikipedia page and had their owner as Aaron Rodgers.
That's awesome.
Surely somebody changed it. Usually when stuff like that happens, you see it littered all over, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, that somebody would have taken a snapshot of it and you know, the Chicago Bears owner, Aaron Rodgers. I didn't see it this week.
No, that's true.
Somebody should get on that.
Do you have your dud of the week there? Or duds?
It's singular, and it's somebody I guess I've sort of been critical of pretty much his whole career, and that's just Daniel Jones going back to being Daniel Jones. He's had a fairly solid season, but the game this week against the Rams was just, oh my god, that was hard to watch. It was really hard to watch. Fumbles, two interceptions. This is just in the first half. Just dismal play by Daniel Jones. Like, it's just like I said, he's had a fairly solid season this year, and he's gotten rid of the jitters. He's gotten rid of the interceptions and the fumbles, and they all just came roaring back in this game.
Yeah. It's
And look, and secondly, why in the blue hell did Joe Judge leave him in that game in the fourth quarter when that game is gone?
Put to bed. Yeah, I don't know.
Gone.
I don't know. I don't know why they do it in these games. They love to keep him out there. It's I don't know. I don't know.
Is it just because it's Mike Glennon as the backup and it's not a young, it's not another young QB, it's a veteran?
I don't get it either. Because they do it when they're...
Again, that's how somebody gets hurt. When they're only putting half-assed effort in.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to see... And especially against a team like the Rams, where Aaron Donald is just got quarterback on the brain 24-7. He blast through that offensive line and he'll really do some damage.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, that's nice. Look, I guess I made sense. I could have had that. I'm just still perplexed of what the Texans are doing. I know they don't have the great side.
Not playing good football.
I get that. But what is the whole thing I'm perplexed by is Davis Mills is playing at the moment. Yes, I'm not going down the Deshaun Watson rabbit hole. But the dude's a healthy scratch. Can someone just come out and just tell me that he's a healthy scratch because we don't want him because we don't even know if he's going to, you know, or basically say, all this is still going on, so he can't play. Like, no one really knows.
I guess his playing status and his freedom status, shall we say, are still very much up in the air.
Because he was the talk of chatter around.
Well, something needs to be done with these cases. All of a sudden, I guess since the season has started, all the talk, all the chatter about it has all gone silent.
Yeah, possibly because there's too many. You're right, it's possibly that. I don't know.
The trade deadline is like 2 weeks away.
2 weeks
it's like
away.
It's like November 2nd.
Oh, I don't know. Oh my god. If that's the thing. Okay. So that's a good point. If they keep
now that there's only a couple of weeks left, the rumors have started to swirl again.
If they keep him, but then come out and say we're gonna keep him, he's still our guy. This is it kind of thing. Like,
at the start of the season, before all this crap started, he wanted out.
Well, that's the thing. I know. And I don't know what's going on. Or go to the NFL and say, we want to keep this guy. What's the punishment you're going to have? So then they can start the punishment. I don't know.
Let's just start the process. And the other thing is there's only going to be a certain select amount of teams that are going to even think about trading for him. He still has a no trade clause, so he has to approve it. So it can't be, oh, the Detroit Lions have got the best package they can put together. He's going to go, no, I'm not going to the Detroit Lions. No, no offense, Lions fans, but do you know what I mean? Like, you know,
no,
it could go to an absolute trail of fire of a team.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's exactly
He's still got to be the one to approve it and lift his no trade clause.
It's funny you mentioned the two teams you mentioned on this, and we'll focus off.
The worst team. They could be the Jets. Like, it could be. Jacksonville.
You mentioned two teams of two pairs today. You mentioned a few times actually, and this is perfect for Deshaun Watson. The two teams that could use him, and then he could change his wide receivers around, is Miami to change around Jalen Waddle. And the Eagles to change around Devontae Smith. They're the ones that need accurate passes. You imagine it, and that is the chatter with those two teams. But
he's accurate on the scramble as well.
He would absolutely, if he was at Eagles, he would absolutely feed, my God, Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith would just go, yep.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I don't want him in the NFC. I don't want anyone else in the NFC.
I don't want any good quarterbacks in the NFC.
I don't want any good quarterbacks because that's it, man. That's the other thing with Deshaun Watson. At the end of the day, he's still an all-pro quarterback. He is.
Yeah, that's right. But you can't take the chance until the issue has been resolved. You simply, no team. It would be... I think I might have been watching Get Up this week. I'm pretty sure it was Lewis Riddick said this, that would be any team, any of the 31 other teams would be so irresponsible to trade for him while this situation is still currently under investigation. Irresponsible.
Or if they do it, then the NFL has to come out at the same time and say this is, you know, basically have to. You're right. It would be.
I think they've got to step in before a deal's made.
See, that's the thing. They need to.
To save a team from themselves.
Well, that's true.
That's what it is. And at the moment, it's looking like it's Miami. Miami needs saving from themselves. Besides the fact that they're 1-5 and look like just an absolute just pile of garbage.
The thing is,
the NFL needs to save them from themselves.
The thing is with them as well is if they end up doing it and they're going to have to throw first round picks in there, you would think.
They don't got none.
But that's exactly right. It depends on how late they go. They might end up not having 3 years worth of ones and they could be in an absolute world.
Total mortgage. That's one reason why it is irresponsible. So, it's a total mortgaging of the future on a whim and a prayer that he gets exonerated from all of these charges. Nothing happens. Cool, I can come back to the NFL after a 16-game, you know, a one-year suspension, whatever. Wham, I'm back in the NFL. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see him playing this year, even if it all goes through, you know, like and then
– Week six already. We're a third of the way in.
He's found non-guilty. He's not playing this year, but they need to sort it out.
It won't be this year because he'll have to serve some sort of suspension.
Yeah, no, he will. They'll count this because he technically if Houston keep him, they've done the right thing. They'll count that he hasn't played any games, so that still should count technically.
Well, NFL hasn't come out and said anything about a suspension being laid on him. So right now that there's no suspension.
I think at the end of the day, it's because these cases are still ongoing and there's nothing, they have to wait for all that to finish. And that's probably it. That's it. There's probably no more point harping on it because you have to wait for all that to happen. So.
Yeah. Look, I guess sort of a bit of like we talked about the trade deadline, a little bit of sneaky early trade action with Zach Ertz being traded over to Arizona. I bet you he's sort of glad to get out of Philadelphia at the moment. Once again, one of those tight ends 2 or 3 years ago was at the peak of his powers, being paid for it like Austin Hooper, and Dallas Goedert has just totally leapfrogged him, you know, on that depth chart. And Zach Ertz is out of there now.
He's got Kyler Murray throwing to him.
Dude, he is going to kill it. That's what I mean. In Arizona.
This could actually be a shrewd pickup by both of them. By a shrewd pickup for Arizona and a shrewd, I guess, get for Zach Ertz. So, yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with that. That's just another strength to their already impressive arsenal.
Just trying to think who the tight end is that's been hurt, and it'll come to me in a minute. It's Max Williams.
It was Max Williams, and then their tight end too got hurt. So, yeah, good pickup. He's 30. That's fine. A fifth round.
He's 30. Like he's got plenty of life left.
That's right. Well, look at Gronk. So just to put it in perspective.
And he's a freaking nature Gronk.
Yeah, well that's true. But they only had to give away a fifth. So.
Oh no! What a bargain!
What a bargain!
What a bargain!
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally.
Well, it was like Stephon Gilmore a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Going to Carolina. I don't think we mentioned that. And it was a sixth rounder.
Yeah.
For Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
I get it. He's purely, hurt, but.
That's purely on that was purely on the amount his contract was. That's why they said, well, we're not giving any more because we're absorbing all his contract. But you're right.
New England were going to release him.
I know. So they're pretty good that they actually got something. Yeah, that's a good point.
At least they got something back. You know, six rounder isn't much chop, but at least it's something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, that will do it for week six of the NFL. As always, socials are Facebook and Spotify, which is at Final Play Pod. Also, as always, you got eureka.com.au that hosts all our podcasts is probably just easier to say. And the one Darren's
Man, tips. You've only been on the waters.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I needed a beer to speak properly. Maybe, that's a true alcoholic thing to say. Yeah.
They're still busting out NBA at the moment. They're doing Fridays and Sundays, so check those guys out. They're on Facebook, Eureka Sports Cards, and all of their breaks are always listed on gimko.com.au, GIMKO. They've got all the American sports up there. Baseball, ice hockey, NFL, NBA. They've got the lot. AFL always goes gangbusters on there. The NRL sort of died off a little bit because the season's over. But, yeah, everything, you know, the NFL and the NBA are always uber popular. Check those guys out.
Because it's an international sport, so the value of them would be a lot better than AFL. But I don't know either. I could be completely wrong in this situation.
A lot more AFL fans down there.
What I'm getting at is if you're the card value could be a lot better in the NFL and NBA.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm getting at. Jump on that, everyone.
You get some of the big gun rookie cards from the last few years, that's cash.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, my name's Jason. I still own you. That I can't get that out of my head now.
it was so good. It's just like I when I heard it live, it's like, did that microphone just catch that sound?
Oh, he knew it.
I think it did, and then even 2 minutes later. Oh yeah, when they replayed it, it's just like, yeah, no, that microphone, that sideline microphone, that did the trick. I'm Miles Truth or Dare Plum. That's
Truth or Dare. I should have said Jason Truth. That's so good. That song had no context to anything, but
absolutely nothing to do with this week's NFL. Absolutely nothing. just got such a mad intro. Just it's so good.
All right, see you, everyone.
See ya.